This is Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Picking off hour two here on Already? Money Moves. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. Yes, I know. Time is flying when you're having fun.
I'm having fun. I don't know about you. I'm in a great mood today.
You're in a mood today. I don't know if it's a great one.
You know, I've whittled it down. I know exactly what our dynamic is.
What's
I figured
that?
It out. Our dynamic is that of two siblings in the back seat, and one of the siblings is going, I'm not touching you,
yes.
Like, the whole time?
Yes.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate every second of it. And all I'm doing is screaming up to mom and dad in the front seat to do something, and no one is stepping in.
That's right.
Awful.
I'm not touching you.
We'll see if we can have any progress in that area over the course of year two of our working relationship together. Meanwhile, we have a lot still to come this hour. We will have Good Bet or Live to Regret, College Football Futures Edition, which will be a fun little segment we're going to try out today. Mm. We'll also do an early preview of the week one lines in the National Football League. Speaking of which, we had a little bit of this discussion with where some of the early money is coming in for week one and some futures with Jeff Sherman, who is, of course, is new back here at Circa Sportsbook. If you missed any of that conversation, want to catch up, Money Moves in podcast form, wherever you get your podcasts, you can listen on your own time each and every day. We will also start this hour, though, in the NFL as our NFL training camp tour continues.
Join Stormy and JBT as they go on the Money Moves NFL training camp tour.
Where are we at today? Let's go, Buffalo. Gone is Sean McDermott after an overtime divisional round loss to the Broncos. Internal hire elevating Joe Brady. Josh Allen, your MVP favorite in 2026. So high expectations for a team that just fired their coach because they didn't reach him to that point under Sean McDermott, despite the turnaround that they had in his tenure. Big picture, what do you think about this Buffalo Bills team?
Yeah, I want to start with that dynamic because I don't get it. So that's like Bill Ady, our boss, coming into the studio and being like, you know, guys, I don't really like the direction the show is going. Stormy, we're going to fire you and make John the main host. And it's like, well, wait a minute. What are you talking about? Joe Brady was part of the teams that failed to meet expectations. He ran the offense. He was part of the staff before he took over as a full-time offensive coordinator. You don't like the culture that was established. You don't like that you failed. So you're just going to internally promote the guy that was part of the failures?
Yeah.
I just don't really understand that dynamic. But that aside, I do wonder what this offense is going to look like, because there is, I guess, like a blind expectation, and rightfully so to an extent, because Josh Allen is a very good quarterback, that this offense is going to be one of the best in the NFL again. And I think it's a safe assumption. We should also mention James Cook is obviously one of the better running backs in the National Football League. So there's going to be a baseline of production that I think is going to be pretty strong for the Buffalo Bills. But I do wonder, right, the addition of DJ Moore. That's like one of the big ones. And that was one of my burning questions for the guide, because I wrote it for the NFL guide. What does he actually do? Over the last few seasons, depth at receiver has been one of the biggest questions. They have not had a 1,000-yard receiver the last 2 years. Khalil Shakir led the team with 821 in 2024 and 719 yards in 2025. So you go and get Moore, but he's statistically been declining. He's failed to eclipse 1,000 yards himself in three of the last four seasons. 2025, he didn't reach the century mark in a single game. So is DJ Moore really the answer to what has been an issue for this team? And then you dig a little bit deeper on the depth chart at wide receiver. You still have Shakir, along with Keon Coleman, who caught just 38 balls for 404 yards, and Josh Palmer, who is, we'll call it a vet and a guy who's been on a couple of rosters. But Stormy, the rest of the projected depth chart at wide receiver caught a grand sum of 18 passes in 2025. So is this depth issue at wide receiver, which has constantly plagued Buffalo, really fixed with the addition of DJ Moore? I don't really know that to be the case. And then, of course, we get back to, I think, where we started. You've had this issue at wide receiver. You're wondering if this offense is going to improve. And the guy who's been calling the plays the last 2 years is now the head coach and is still going to be calling the plays. So I think that there is a situation in which this offense is good, yet again, because they have been relatively decent. But if we're talking about changes, if we're talking about making leaps or dramatically improving, why would I expect that this offense is going to be any different?
Yeah, I wouldn't expect the dramatic improvement, but maybe you just have the thought process that it's a new voice in front of the entire team, and maybe his messaging will get across a little bit better. I think that's really the only thing. And maybe if there was some contentiousness around Sean McDermott from the inside that we didn't really know about from the outside looking in, there are a lot of layers to this internally with an NFL team that, while there are certain teams that all of that gets out, in Buffalo we didn't really hear as much of that. But clearly there was an issue with them not getting over the hump. And there is a hope and a belief, whether it is right or wrong, that Joe Brady can help them take that next step.
I mean, obviously, Keon Coleman's like one of the most important pieces in the National Football League, too, because there was a war over him, and McDermott apparently lost that war. I don't know. But go ahead.
I was just going to say, too, while, yes, I know wide receiver has been an issue, they do still have Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox, and they're going to be utilized in the tight end room. I am one of the people that is a believer in DJ Moore. I think this is a situation where he could potentially have some more success. Josh Allen running the ship and playing the game the way that he does, I feel like he's going to be good at facilitating and doing what he needs to do. This is a team that I think reaches the 11-win mark again. They're going to go deep in the postseason. It's just a matter of, are they a Super Bowl contender or not? And I don't know that answer.
Yeah,
I mean, contender, yes. But Super Bowl winner, yeah. I don't know.
We should address, too, and I think this is also one of the reasons why I went under on the win total as well. And again, under is a 10-win season. So 10-7, I think, is perfectly respectable. But people would call you a hater for the most part.
I think that total is dead on correct, right?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I'm not running to bet under 10.5 for the guide. We have to select over or under. And I feel more comfortable in selecting under 10.5 than over, but you're right. Like 10, 11 wins feels like this is something that's going to be achievable for Buffalo. But the other thing that we should address with this team is them defensively. McDermott's departure means that we have a new play caller for the defense. Jim Leonard comes in. He's going to be the defensive coordinator. He was with the Broncos the last 2 years, different roles. He's reportedly installing a new defensive scheme for Buffalo. They're going to shift into that 3-4 base as opposed to the 4-3 that they've been running. And the thing that kind of bothers me a little bit with that shift is the loss of talent for the most part. When you have Joey Bosa, AJ Epenesa, Tre'Davious White, Taron Johnson all departing this offseason, that's over 2,600 snaps played for the Bills defense last year. So you're switching schemes. You're losing over 2,600 snaps. This was already a unit that was real, like, dead on average. They were 15th in opponent EPA per play last season. Realistically, where does this team finish? I mean, ultimately, maybe 15th again. Maybe you're pretty average. But given the loss of production and the change in scheme, I think there's a reality where, you know, if we're talking about finishing 15th or right dead in the middle, is it more likely they finish 10th or is it more likely they finish 20th? And I think it's slightly more likely they finish 20th than it is 10th in the NFL. Obviously, I'm willing to be wrong, but that to me is the other thing that kind of bugs me about what Buffalo is. Again, having Josh Allen, I'll make this clear, gives you a pretty steady baseline that they're going to be a winning team in the NFL. I think where you and I differ is I'm splitting the hair and going, yeah, I think they're going to be a playoff team, but I don't see true contender. And I think that you're buying a little bit more into the upside. And I don't blame you because Josh Allen's one of the better quarterbacks.
From that whole conversation, though, in terms of the division, I think it's very interesting because you are obviously facing a team that just made it to the Super Bowl a year ago. And the question of what the Patriots are going to be is a big one, I think, this year. I know you and I, big picture, are a little bit more down on them just given the schedule that they're going to have to face now after facing a historically easy one a year ago. But in the context of the division, Buffalo has been bet up here already. And if you look in our NFL betting guide, Matt Eumanns, Kelly Bidlin, Will Hill, there are a handful of people that specifically had the Bills to win the AFC East as their best bet at minus 125. You're seeing this upwards of minus 135 now across the board. But also, just in terms of the analyst picks across the entirety of the network at this point, there were 23 of us hosts, analysts, pickers that had to put in our picks for just who generally we thought was going to win each of these divisions. Mm-hmm. 20 of the 23 analysts had Buffalo winning this thing. Only 3 did not.
I think I picked them to win the division too, didn't I? Ultimately, I could be wrong about that.
I didn't look at you specifically. I did. I was one of them, though.
That's rude, I would say.
But see. Every single one, yeah, regardless, every single one still had them in the playoffs as well. Yeah. And so I think that's the conversation is. We all are on the same page of thinking this is going to be a double-digit win team. Josh Allen is going to be very good and ideally put himself back in the MVP conversation as he's the short shot to win it right now at what's the price at right now?
Plus 550.
Huh?
When you're knocking on the door, you just got to keep knocking. Eventually, somebody will open when it comes to winning a championship.
I like that. You know, this team has been waiting for a very, very long time. I just don't know, to your earlier point, if this is necessarily the group that looks the most poised to get there of the teams that he's had.
Yeah, that to me is the big question. So let me ask you before we get to some other parts of this team, but do you think they have a 1,000-yard receiver this year? I know it's not the end-all, be-all, but I'm just curious.
I think they're going to spread the wealth, so I will say no.
Mm, interesting. So you shipped off a second-round pick for a guy that's still not going to get to 1,000 yards. Mm.
I guess if you put it that way. I mean,
I just don't really love it, man. Like, again, they're going to be good. I
think DJ Moore is going to have a really good season. I just don't know if it'll be a 1,000-yard year.
I just think everything they did in the offseason is at best like a lateral move. That makes sense.
Sure.
Like, I don't think they did anything with the roster, with the coaching staff that made them exponentially better.
I'm going to say yes. 1,000-yard season for DJ Moore. I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Well, and that's largely because I really like Josh Allen's passing yards prop for the season long totals. If you're looking at that, around 3,549.5.
He's very good at sharing the sugar.
Well, I'm just thinking.
Would you bet him to win MVP?
It's too short. I don't like betting the shortest guy on the board
Why?
For MVP.
I mean, I'm just curious, and I'm just more of a philosophical question. It's a quarterback's award.
Yeah,
it's generally going to all these guys. We don't see anybody really rise from the pack to go and grab it.
I'd have to go fully through the data like I have for the Heisman.
Data.
But this is, you're a data guy, not data?
Depends on the day.
Exactly. But these markets fluctuate so much that I think that they're, will be a time that you could probably get a better number on the guy that you're looking for compared to the preseason short shots. That is, you know, like if you're betting in this market right now, you would want somebody who's double digits or a longer odds potential player, right?
Yeah. So I'm threading the needle under the win total division winner. My call. It's my Babe Ruthian call.
Since we're trying to do a bet, if I had one, it would be the Bills to win the division or Josh Allen over his passing yards prop. Again, 3,549.5. Last year finished with 3,668, which was his lowest output since 2019. And still about 120 more yards than this prop is sitting at right now, considering his durability. And I think the potential wealth that you could spread the ball around. I like that angle.
Should also point out, too, if you like the Buffalo Bills in the big picture, you can also find a Bills to win the Super Bowl and Josh Allen to win MVP 30-1.
You know who the Buffalo Bills are playing week one?
No.
The Houston Texans. Very interesting opening weekend matchup. That is one of several games we're going to look ahead to coming up next right here on Money Moves. Don't go anywhere.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Money Moves, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. And with VSIN in mind, and it being football season, did you know that the best night show in all of sports is coming back? Cashing Out with Dustin Sweetelson back starting Sunday. Once the primetime games wrap up, the real breakdown is just getting started with Dustin, who's serving up best bets, key angles, and real conversation. No fluff, just what you need before the next day's slate. You can watch Cashing Out beginning this Sunday at 10 Eastern, then weeknights at 11 right here on VSIN. Very excited for Dustin to have his own show back.
We need to update our pictures.
Why?
Well, Dustin's growing his hair out, first off. He doesn't look like that anymore. Kelly, I don't know if you've noticed, is disappearing.
Yes.
Day by day.
Kelly definitely needs new ones.
Yeah.
So, my hair is not as blonde as it used to be.
Don't make this about you. I'm talking about everybody else.
You said we.
Yeah, we, as in VSIN needs different photos.
You're so skinny now, too.
I wasn't going to say that, but thank you.
Still got the glasses, though.
Yeah, I got to get my contacts.
For your promo shoots, do you prefer glasses or not glasses? I would just think that the flash could impact things.
I don't think I look good with glasses. I think I prefer my look without glasses. What do we think?
I think it's fine either way.
The problem is I am blind.
You don't like wearing contacts as much?
I love wearing contacts. It's just I have not had time to go get a new prescription. My prescription
expired.
No
way.
Yeah.
See, I'm frantic when my prescriptions are expiring to go get some. And I have to wear contacts for like, last year I had to wear them for a full week. I had to wear my glasses.
I'm going to try without them, but I am blind. My mother and my sister have crossed the threshold of legally blind. So you can get an idea of how bad my eyesight is.
So you can't drive without them is what you're saying.
Yeah, I can and I have. I'm not that blind.
Oh, no.
I'm not that bad. Like,
okay.
I can see the numbers on our countdown clocks, and I can see the words on air segment two. But past that, like, yeah, I ain't reading.
Well, let's take a look at some of the numbers for week one in the National Football League as we get excited for football season to be here. I mentioned off the top of the hour, we had Jeff Sherman on Risk Manager over here at Circa Sports talking through some thoughts about the week one lines. And he mentioned a couple of games that were already on the move, one of which was this Patriots-Seattle Seahawks game that's going to kick off the season. They opened 5.5 on Seattle, down to 3.5 at this point. Do you agree with that thought process early?
I think so, especially when you talk about talking about getting like over four when you were putting some of those openers early. You know, it's funny how we always do this now, especially when we get into football season, right? Sharps are on this side, squares are on this side. The sharps are getting much different numbers, and you never really get to see when you get some of those splits where they were betting it. So when you eventually get to Wednesday and you hear that the sharps are on the New England Patriots, remember that some spots opened at five or better. Yep. So that is not a key number, but it's a better number than what you're going to get by the time you get to kickoff. So I think that's worth it. But I also think there's two things at play here. As we mentioned yesterday on the show, you weren't here, but I think I'm willing, the more I've looked at the New England Patriots, to accept the fact that I might be wrong in New England, given the fact that they made some real good improvements in the offseason, especially the skill positions with A.J. Brown and Romeo Dubs. And so if Drake May is going to have the same baseline of production or just be just one of the top 13, 10 quarterbacks, best quarterbacks in the NFL, he's one of the best in the NFL last year, then this is a team that's probably going to be pretty good. And on the other side, we don't account enough for this at times, and from a power rating standpoint, I don't think it impacts a ton. But losing Kubiak, I think, is a big deal for Seattle and what that's going to mean for Sam Darnold, who's put together two pretty solid seasons, but at the back half of the year became much more mortal as the teams that were out there were like, oh, wait, let's not play eight in the box anymore. Let's actually make sure Sam Darnold can't kill us. And we saw a change in his play. So I think all of those things put together, yeah, I think even despite the lopsided nature of when they played in the Super Bowl, the gap between these teams from a power rating standpoint, probably a little bit tighter than what you're looking at with that five and a half.
Total here sitting 44 and a half as well. That game will be on a Wednesday, September 9th, when we're kicking off this year's opening week.
Yeah, I hate it.
Yeah, you don't like the Wednesday?
Just the Wednesday, Thursday, like, I get it.
It's
we like the
NFL.
It's not
every week. It's a special
I know,
week
but they're
one.
Doing
Let's
this
get
whole
it going.
Thing, man.
I think it's fun. We're I don't mind it.
It's nonsense. We're losing the plot here with the NFL.
Opening week, I'm down for it. Meanwhile, Thursday, not so down for my injured and depleted early already San Francisco 49ers to make the trip to Melbourne, Australia to face the Los Angeles Rams, who, as we've talked about already today, are huge Super Bowl favorites. Melbourne.
Is that how they're supposed to say it?
Correct.
Interesting.
Melbourne, Australia. And this was one that opened like 2.5 in favor of the Rams, now up to 3.5. And like we said, lots of injuries already mounting up from training camp with San Francisco. Total here sitting 48.5. Interesting travel note as well. The 49ers are going out a week early to get adjusted to the time change. And apparently the Rams are going out the day before. So just trying to, like, in and out. They're going to travel in the day before, and they're going to leave immediately following the game. That's a lot of time on a plane.
It is. I mean, you're more well-traveled. You've been to every country in the world, and you stay to the most regal and palatial estates that one can think of. Would that be that big of a deal? I know it's – what's that time difference? Like,
I don't know the time difference, but I know it's, like, 25 hours.
I mean, I would assume they all are traveling, like, the way that you are. They're all getting beds and being fed food as they're laying there on
if
their
only
backs.
I always travel that way. So, yes, they'll be set up on a very nice layback flight situation. But that doesn't mean it's still comfortable. Like, that's still a very, very long time to be on a plane. And even with the seats being, like, those are big people.
Yeah. No, but is there planes that are full of, like, beds? I don't know. I'm asking.
I feel like they would have to for a trip like this. They're not just going to be standard first class seats like a normal charter.
Because my whole thing is, I say this all the time, and like, because one of the most dead angles, well, I'll dig up the data. One of the most dead angles in the NFL was like the traveling now across the three time zones, right, west to east. Oh my God, your body clock. Since like 2000, I'll ballpark it. I think like since 2017 or something like that. Like that thing is sub 500 in a really big way, ATS. So like travel is not what it used to be, is what my whole point is here, right? They're not all cramming into a tiny jet like in the 70s, filled of cigarette smoke and having to go and make these long trips. So I think that the travel aspect of this, given how much science and study is in when it comes to taking care of these guys, I don't think the Rams would do this if they felt it was putting them at a disadvantage.
They used a similar strategy, and granted, Australia is much farther away than London is, but they did a similar strategy when they played their international game to London.
Wait.
They reportedly sent organization members on trial flights from L.A. to Melbourne and back and tracked exactly how much the jet lag affected them. That's what it's called. I don't know what you want me to say.
Can I ask a stupid question?
Just because it's spelled like Melbourne, that doesn't mean that's how you say it.
Can I ask a stupid question?
What?
They're going to go west, right, when they fly?
I don't know directions.
Like, they're going to fly across the Pacific. They're not going to fly across and then go back all the way
around. That's my understanding of how you get there, but
I don't know.
Ask me
flight patterns are weird.
Lord knows.
I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. I think your team's going
to
go out there to Melbourne and get their asses kicked. So,
I was going to say, listen, how did we lose in Survivor last year? because of an injury-depleted 49ers team that beat the Rams on their turf. So, like, who knows?
Point.
You know, like, they have had good games with the Rams. It has been a fun game of cat and mouse between Shanahan and McVay over the years. Those games are always competitive. But, yes, on the surface, my gut says the over 3.5. Like, that makes sense for that number to have moved from 2.5 to 3.5 the way that it did.
Yeah, I would agree with that premise. Yeah, it's like, that makes sense. That's given what's going on with your team, I think it makes sense to bump the gap up on a neutral between these two, for sure.
Let's go to the Sunday slate. Any games in particular that you want to hit on?
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple. You mentioned
there's
it.
A lot.
Buffalo and Houston, I think, is an interesting one, as you're seeing a smattering of different numbers here. Houston's a one-point favorite. Buffalo is 1.5-point favorite. So we're going to talk about Houston a little bit later in our training camp tour, obviously, when we get there. When we start to head south. But I will say this, that given more information, I do like to change my opinion on things, okay? I'm not so stuck in my ways. And I do think there's a reality where this offense is better because the offensive line is better. And if that's the case, I think Houston deserves to be at the very least favored at home against Buffalo. As somebody who's somewhat low on Buffalo and who understands how good, obviously like all of us do, how good this Texans defense is, I don't think we're at a place where the Bills should be a road favorite in an NFL game against a potential AFC contender. So I think if you're looking at this now, catch 1.5 with the Houston Texans. I know it's very early on, but if you're still getting that, throw your teasers in now and find some opportunities for you. If you want to tease them up with, I don't know, just throw out like a Carolina or something like that.
Tease them with the Lions. The most obvious teaser leg of the entire thing is the Lions are laying 6.5 against the Saints at home.
Yeah, some sevens out there. So, yeah, if you want to tease that down and then, of course, tease that up Houston, I think that makes a ton of sense. But I think Houston's a play here against Buffalo.
Yeah, this my lean was Houston plus 1.5, but this game feels like Josh Allen's going to win by one. It's kind of like written all over it, you know, so... the Ravens and Colts seems like a trap to me. Ravens only favored by 3.5.
Only? Oh, you're saying only.
I say give me the Ravens.
I figured you'd be on the Colts.
No, I do. We have talked about our lack of belief in Daniel Jones and that coming off of the Achilles. The fact that we're assuming that he's starting week one at this point and having no clue what that's going to look like for him just seems a little dicey to me, especially facing a defense that now is Jesse Minter-led. I feel like this seems a little trappy to me.
I will say that out of everything, as we talked about with Jeff Sherman.
Cardinals.
10.5 with the Arizona Cardinals. Let's go.
That is the lone double-digit dog of the entire week one slate.
And
week
Give me 11, I'll tease it up to 17.
Week one is a bleep show.
Mm-hmm.
Truly, come into the season with all of these grand ideas of what teams are going to be, who's going to blow out who, and it never ends up that way.
Every week is a bleep show in the National Football League.
Fair, but especially week one. Like, you truly do not know what you're going to get. You can do all of the research, all of the work that you want. You have no idea. I also like Minnesota against Green Bay.
Okay, look at you. On the right side of the market, it's moving in that direction.
It'll be fun when we actually, like, are through training camp and those...
And the NBA season gets here?
People are really diving into the numbers and placing bets and moving them even more than just what the Sharps have done. Like, I am very excited for us to actually get to that opening week.
Watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we're cruising on Thursday. Money Moves, Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. Time to talk a little college football here, especially with the coaches poll coming out this week. We're inching closer and closer to week one, week zero, that is. I know you already previewed that week zero slate yesterday. A handful of interesting futures available, too. And I want to get things started here. So what we're going to do is we're going to play a little game called Love the Bet or We'll Live to Regret. Okay. And we're going to look at a handful of different college football futures plays here.
Before you present all of your wonderful ones, can I submit one really quickly before we get started for you?
Well, you should have put it in because we have a graphic reveal that everyone's going to yell at me about if I go out of order.
New Mexico to make the college football playoff.
Oh, come on. This isn't right.
Go ahead.
This is wrong. You know what? We have to stand by it because it's already happened. 20-1. We're going to stand by the play.
Much like the steak you got me the other day, you're cooked.
That was a good dinner.
It was good. It's very good.
Expensive. But
I appreciate it. I said thank you. I appreciated it. And I got two glasses of wine, even though I don't drink wine.
We should have gotten a bottle. I know we talked about it several times. We should have just gotten a couple bottles instead of doing the glass by glass thing.
I did not talk about this at all, actually. But the most D-baggy thing I did, because I think I was very nice. I could have ordered.
I don't think you did anything bad.
Well, but that's what I was going to say. The most D-baggy thing I did was, because you guys were all drinking wine and I don't drink wine. So I was like, all right, I'll get red wine, but I want the $22 one. There was like 16, 17, and 22. And I was like, I'll get $22.
You never get the cheapest one anyways. Or as our former producer and one of our bosses here, Stephanie Kamerschek, says, you always get the second cheapest one if you're just trying to play it safe here. That said, hopefully I win some of our show bets as we go here. The ones that I have won have been for nothing on the line, which makes me feel terrible, even though I think I'm winning the overall head-to-head.
Yeah, one of them was what, like the Penn State Oregon game, wasn't it, or something like that?
Yeah,
last year.
And College World Series, I beat you.
Yeah, yeah.
We've had a few of them, so yeah. I think I actually have the overall edge, and yet I lost on the biggest sport. Neither here nor there. Let's get into some of these college football plays, and the first one about Alabama, I want to set up with the soundbite here quickly because Kalen DeBoer was asked about the Tide's preseason ranking in the coaches' poll. Take a listen.
Kalen, this team isn't picked to finish as high as maybe what this program is used to. You think the guys pay attention to that? And then over the past day or so, have you felt a sense of motivation to prove people wrong?
Yeah, we are definitely aware.
I couldn't hear that one.
Yeah, I don't know if the audio went out because sometimes we hear it weird, but the audio goes out for the audience better. He had a very quick response just saying, yeah, we're well aware.
Okay.
Very well aware of where they are ranking at this point in the season.
Okay, I was like, what was he aware of? Because I didn't even hear it.
They have. That's not where they certainly feel like they should be entering the season. Love the bet or will live to regret Alabama to win the SEC plus 8.
You got to be more creative than this. Do I love the bet that I've made? Yes, I do. I think Alabama can win the SEC. Now, a lot of it has to do with Russell.
I didn't remember you actually made that bet, though.
Yeah, so a lot of it has to do with Kalen Russell and whether or not he is going to be, to use the term we talked about with Joe Adell, the prince that was promised, but I do believe that Russell can be very, very good. I trust DeBoer to kind of bring him along here. And I think, not blindly, but I think it was kind of lost in the sauce last year because we focused so much on the unbalanced and inefficient running game and the unbalanced offense. The defense was actually really good last year, and they bring back a ton of production. So if you can get a better run game with a new offensive line and a new athletic quarterback, which I think they're going to, I think this team's going to be a bigger threat. Mm-hmm. Schedule works out for them as well with some strong home games. So let's go Alabama to win the SEC. Yes, I love the bet.
Still crazy to me to think that they lost that opening game to Florida State. Considering what Florida State ended up being and what Alabama ended up being, my big question is, will Alabama show up in the big games this year? Yeah. Because that was the issue, right? SEC Championship, Rose Bowl, and I know it wasn't all perfect from a health standpoint, but you can't lose by 20-plus in the biggest games of the year and expect people to buy into your messaging, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I think just going back to like what you're talking about, with the losses in some of the biggest games, and yeah, look, Indiana blew out a ton of teams, but it speaks to what the issue was. In that game against Indiana, they ran for a grand total of 23 yards.
Yeah.
Like that was Alabama's season in a nutshell. It was, dear God, Ty Simpson, please do something, and they really couldn't do it.
Let's go to another chalky team, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Love the bet or would live to regret playing Notre Dame to have an undefeated regular season this year. Plus 160, the price. Everybody's been talking all offseason about the schedule. One of the easiest in the country. It's 56th in ESPN's FBI. Only one true contending team big picture. They got that revenge game against Miami at home in November where they are already 7-point favorites in the preseason game of the year lines, even for that one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think you have a better dynamic for both of these teams that I'll mention, but I feel like the road game against BYU might be a slip-up spot. I think BYU is pretty good, and I know Notre Dame is obviously considered the best team in the country by some, but I think that is a trickier spot than most are indicating, so I'm going to say that I'll probably live to regret it because I think they could lose at BYU, and this is maybe somewhat unfair to pull out, but we've seen this team under Freeman flip up in some odd spots, and to not only have BYU but also Miami on the schedule, we'll throw SMU in there too. Like, there's been crazier losses in Freeman's time. I don't think that would be insane at all. So I'm going to say I'd live to regret that, especially at like plus 160.
Nah. Yeah, it's just that's the price for the undefeated season over 11.5. The over 10.5 is just so juiced. Yeah. And I think 11 win season is the most likely outcome for them. It's just a matter of which of those games they're ultimately going to get tripped up in. That said, they are a touchdown or more favorite favorites in every single one of those games. Like I said, laying 7 against Miami, 10.5 at BYU, and 17.5 against SMU. They do only play four true road games, which is kind of crazy. And the other three outside of BYU are at North Carolina, Purdue, and Syracuse. So it is a very, very easy schedule for the Irish, who we have as our number one overall team in the country.
I'll even throw out there, I think Syracuse is going to be sneaky competent too. So, you know, you have to go on the road after playing this SMU at home. It's just, there's a lot of spots where you might find yourself getting tripped up.
Indiana to win the national championship, to repeat, first repeat champ since the Georgia Bulldogs in 2021-22. Love the bet or live to regret it 8-1.
Who? Burr? No shot. No, thank you. We'll live to regret it.
You're not a. I actually almost put Josh Hoover to win the Heisman on here at 13-1, but I already knew the answer. It was so blatant. We will go to Heisman, though.
Kurt Cignetti, we played the clip the other day.
He doesn't even really buy in. Honestly, I heard another clip of him coming out of practice the other day, and he was going on and on about how the practice was fine, but he finished okay.
Yeah.
And I was just like, these are not the worst. But maybe he's doing that on purpose. Kurt Cignetti is a very strategic person, and he talks a lot of talk, but maybe with this in particular, he's like, doubt Josh Hoover. Doubt him. I'm not going to hype him up too much. Let's see what he does on the field. And then he ends up being amazing.
What series did they just opt out of? They just canceled the series that they had agreed to. What was it?
Wasn't it the Notre Dame-Indiana one?
That's what it was. Yeah, thank you very much. No, I was just going to bring that up because, you know, big talker.
And that's why USC and Notre Dame are able to play again.
Right.
Let's go to Heisman, though, because a lot of the expectations around Arch Manning are even higher than they were a year ago, and he is expected to be much better than ultimately he was last year. Love the better, live to regret, Arch to win it all.
I think this is a middle ground of one. I think he can win the Heisman. Justin, maybe it was Monday, I can't remember. Dustin Swedelson came on these airwaves. Thank God the summer of Swede's almost over. He talked some nonsense about John Mateer being better than Arch Manning. I think that we're in a reality in which maybe people are a little too down on Arch and not realizing how bad the offensive line was in front of him last year.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about it.
Yep. And so if that offensive line with the additions they made in the transfer portal is going to be much better, then I think Arch Manning's going to be much better. And I think he's going to have a real shot. Texas too. You talk about a schedule that is opportunistic. I say this 1,000 times over every time talking about this team. They leave the state of Texas one time before November. That's it. Yeah. Once. So the schedule is home heavy. They don't travel a ton. They're going to have every opportunity in front of them. If the offensive line is better, he's going to be better. So I think he can. Short answer. At plus 750, do I want to do it? Not really. But in just this context, I will say I love the bet.
Well, and this is another one of those things, though, where I will tell you he's going to have a slip-up game at some point where he's not perfect and you can potentially – I mean, they have Ohio State week two, you know? Like, if he isn't awesome in that week two game but then develops throughout the course of the season into a Heisman-caliber player – you're going to get a better number on Arch then. Yeah. So I just don't believe in betting single digits in the Heisman market at this point in the season. Love the bet or live to regret Hawaii Moneyline in week 0 at Stanford. You love Micah Alejandro, but they've had some injury stuff. Yep. How do you see it?
Pofele Ashlock. It's also a big revenge spot for the Cardinal.
Yeah. First game with Tavita Pritchard as the head man.
Yeah, so I'm going to probably live to regret betting a money line. If you were to make this 4, like right Hawaii plus 4, then maybe you'd get me on the love the bet side. But I think I'd live to regret asking them to win that game.
Okay, let's hit one more because there's been a lot of consternation about the Clemson Tigers being in the coach's top 25. I think they came in at 23. A lot of people not thinking they belong after a 7-5 season. Clemson to make the ACC title game, plus 550. Love the bet or will live to regret?
Unranked in the preseason Money Moves top 25.
Correct,
the Clemson
and I stand
Tigers.
By it.
I'm going to say I'll probably live to regret it, although it is a program built in the name, image, and likeness of Jesus Christ.
We love that. Dabo Sweeney, NIL. Do you want to, when we come back, you have your pick of the litter. Do you want to do baseball? You want to do more college football? You want to do NFL? Pick your poison. What do you want to hit on?
The FIBA Under 18 Championships.
And again, you lost me. With all this college football talk, though, remember our college football betting guide is officially out now. You can sign up for VSiN Pro today. That'll get you instant access to the guide. You've got previews of all 138 FBS teams. Preseason top 50, power ratings, best bets galore. But again, you only get the guide if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber. VSIN.com/subscribe is how you can come join us on that full-time basis.
You're watching.
Team Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are already at the end. Welcome back. Money Moves, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Final segment of the day. Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel with you.
Did you see this news? So, Justin, I don't know if you sent this in our group chat or not, but we did get news. There was the announcement yesterday or the day before. Did you see this about Akron and the season ticket
holders? Yeah.
So it does look like all of the suites and season tickets sold out for the first time in program history.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought they had done this before.
I won't correct you because I don't know if you're
wrong. Okay. So I was of the impression, at least, that they had done this before where they are letting a fan, right?
Yeah. Call like, the play. Yes. Script the drive.
Yes, the opening drive. Yeah, so he's – but, I mean – within reason, right? It's he and Joe Moorhead are basically like going to get in a room together and they're going to talk through.
Not going to talk through. I'm sure Joe Moorhead's going to go, here's 15 plays, pick 10.
But still, I think from a fan standpoint, how fun is that, right? That you get to, for your favorite team, your alma mater, whatever it is, get to be in a room with the head coach and say that you had input on the opening drive script for your first game of the season.
Keep saying, if you're a Robert Morris defensive coordinator, you're taking it personal. I'm drawing up every single different coverage
really
I can think of. We're going at it. Give up a opening drive touchdown if you're Robert Morris, do you not feel like a complete and utter failure?
Absolutely.
By the way, I hope Burke wins the drawing.
That could also, though.
I assume he's a season ticket holder.
If you are like a part of the Akron offense, if you're doing something different because it's not what the original plan would have been, maybe there is something to that. Maybe that could trip Robert Morris up a little bit because there's like these ideas are just coming out of the box.
What if you just go out there and say, we're punting on first down. I'm done. This is exactly what we're going
to
do.
Oh, that reminds me. A new addition to the college football rule book this year, the fair catch kick.
Yeah, so thank you very much for reminding me because I teased this actually yesterday and I was like, I don't know if Stormy can tell us anything. Did you learn anything that you can share for us? Let people know what you were doing, and if you can share anything about your deep, darker, secret meeting with the cabal of ESPN and the college football minds.
We had our college football seminar the last couple of days for ESPN, where it's just hours and hours of meetings. The reporter breakout is always the most fun for me personally because it's basically all of us reporters getting in a room together, or in this case, a Zoom meeting together, and talking through best practices and some of the more elder statesmen talking about giving advice to some of the younger reporters and stuff and talking through frequent problems we have or pregame checklist, that kind of thing. So that's always very, very valuable to me. A lot of the interesting stuff, though, from a conference level, because something part of the meetings that we get to do is we have sessions that are moderated by various ESPN talent with all of the conference commissioners. Mm-hmm. And so those were, I think, just some pretty interesting conversations with them off the record. So I can't really share a lot of them here, but just to give us perspective as we're broadcasting games and kind of the thought process behind a lot of the commissioners for the things they do, thoughts about the expanded potential for the playoff and different things like that. So it was very informative for sure, but they're very long days. Of me sitting at my computer. It's more fun when we get to go to Bristol and get to be around everybody. And you have the CFP executive director that comes and the rules experts that come and all of that stuff. So over Zoom, I got a full hunchback over the last 2 days. So I'm working on my
posture
now.
Your weird bendy back?
My weird bendy back. Last few minutes here, though, we'll stick with college football. There were a handful of those love the bet or will you live to regret it plays for college football futures that we hadn't had an opportunity to get to yet. One of which is a team that I know we've talked about pretty frequently, but I do want to put you down on yes or no for this next one. Love the bet or live to regret USC to make the playoff for the first time under Lincoln Riley.
Yeah. Plus 240. Is that what it is?
Plus 240 is the price. Yeah. Yes.
No, I think so. I think they can do it. I'm a big Maiava guy. The developments that he has made, really skilled offensive line that, as I keep noting and the USC reporters keep talking about, despite the fact that they have all five offensive linemen returning, they actually might not start the same five. That's how talented they feel like they are. So I think this group's going to be really good, strong at home. They were, I believe, undefeated at home, if I remember correctly, last year. Yeah. Draw some good opponents at home, but still get them in Southern California. So I think this is the year. I think they can make it. We'll go yes to make the college football playoff.
It is a pretty tough schedule. Fresno State in week two, non-com isn't a gimme. You host Oregon, though, at the end of September, face an improved Washington team, whiteout game at Penn State, host Ohio State at Indiana in November, at UCLA, even in a crosstown rivalry game. So there are some, there's a lot of potential trip up spots, but if this team is as good as we think it can be, ideally, they're winning a few of those games. My big question, and something I know we've talked about a lot, especially when we did our preseason top 25 and did a deep dive on this team, is in those big games, the big things that stood out were Maiava turning it over and the defense not being able to offset those turnovers. Mm-hmm. So is he going to step up and elevate his game and rein it in like he needs to in those games? We'll see. Let's push it forward to another one. So this is fun, and maybe this is something that we can do for a segment coming up, is looking at some of these head-to-head season wins things.
Yes. Also, we did a little bit of this the other day, but it wasn't really well planned, and I was by myself, and sometimes I talk a lot when I'm by myself. I want to do some cellar dweller stuff.
Ooh,
I'm tired of talking about the big programs. I have hot takes on Northern Illinois Huskies football that I would like to unveil.
You want to do that Monday?
Sure.
Because we have a lot of guests tomorrow, so I'm just wondering if we have enough.
No, you'd have to do it by yourself because I won't be here. But
no,
yes.
Okay, well, then let's do it tomorrow. Let's just find space for it tomorrow.
Okay. All right.
You want to?
Yeah.
Okay, beautiful.
This or hump day next week, which is our only day together.
These are not cellar dwellers. That's true. We could book it for Wednesday because you are out the first 2 days of next week. We work together Wednesday, and then I'm out the final 2 days of next week. Final vacation before football. But this is one of those head-to-heads.
It's your
and they
third
have,
of the year.
They have a lot of them with – you're the worst – with teams that are either similarly placed or have ties.
Yeah.
And so this one is fun. It's the Kyle Whittingham head-to-head. Utah minus 1.5 wins head-to-head with Michigan. You are getting plus money on it at plus 110.
Yeah, I feel like I'd live to regret that. Like, I'm not as big on both of them, but, man, we were talking with one of our listeners, Colin, out there earlier today, and just about the dynamic of Utah and Devin Dampier. Like, I think we're a year late on the Heisman train potentially for Dampier. I thought last year was the best opportunity. I love Devin Dampier. I discovered him, some would argue. Some would say.
Mm.
What do you mean? Mm. There was one host on this network prior to his season at New Mexico.
I think Bronco Mendenhall discovered him.
There was one host on this network prior to his season with New Mexico who said, look out for Devin Dampier. Looks like he's going to be pretty good. And then he was pretty good. And then he got to Utah. Thank you very much. But offensive line completely rebuilt. Defensive line completely rebuilt. A first-time head coach, some real changes. I think that there's a reality that they probably finish with near the same record. So, obviously, if you're getting plus 1.5 wins, it gives you a victory for Michigan. So, yeah, Michigan. So, I would regret it.
How about this one? North Carolina, the old Tar Heels, minus a half a win against Colorado. So, will UNC and Bill Belichick have more wins than Deion and the Colorado Buffaloes?
Okay, this one's tough only because I'm not as up to date on my Colorado stuff. Outside of the one video in which all of their skill positions looked like they were like 5'8 and maybe 102 pounds. But I will say that Bill Belichick did a decent job with this team defensively last year. And I think there's a reality where they're at least extremely competent on that side of the football. Now, we did get news earlier today, maybe it was late last night, that his son, I think it is, who is their defensive coordinator, on medical leave. But I think Bill does a lot of the coaching there, so I don't think you're going to drop off. But they were actually statistically a pretty good defensive unit. Remember, we talked about this quite a bit last year. They were actually covering some numbers down the stretch, too, because the market got so low on them, but their defense was slowly improving. So I think there's a reality that they're, like, sneaky competent. I don't know what the quarterback position is going to look like. They got that transfer from Wisconsin and some other pieces. I can't say I love it, but I'd go North Carolina. Why are you laughing?
No, I was thinking back because I just pulled up North Carolina's schedule from last year, and I just remember when they marched down the field and scored on the opening drive, and everyone was like, oh, man, they're going to be good. And then they, like, just totally got waxed by TCU, like, which is the season opener again in Ireland.
Well, I was going to say, I'm kind of tempted. I mean, if we get to, like, 7.5 TCU out in Dublin, those games are weird. The travel's odd. If I'm right about them being a pretty decent defensive team, like, I don't think it's the craziest thing in the world to ask North Carolina to stay inside of a touchdown.
Well, and he's still Bill Belichick at the end of the day. Like, you have to imagine that in some capacity you're going to right the ship. That said, I actually am – I don't know as much about North Carolina, and I'm more optimistic on Colorado, actually, based on, I mean, some of the comments of just Deion Sanders being more involved now that he's healthy, the coaching staff actually having adults in the room. I know you love Brennan Marion. He's the offensive coordinator now with Juju Lewis.
Love is strong. I may have read his book on the go-go offense.
Well, they're going to be running that in Colorado now, which could trip up some people. I don't know. I am slightly more optimistic on Colorado than I thought I would be, and that's not to say that I think they're going to win a lot of games. I think they're still going to struggle mightily, but I see North Carolina struggling too a good bit. They have Notre Dame, Clemson, Pitt, TCU, Miami, Louisville, Virginia, and NC State on the, like, that's a very, as far as ACC schedules go, that's not an easy one.
No, it is not.
So that's just my two cents on the matter. I can't believe we are already done. That's a wrap for us today. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. We'll have a half hour with Mike Palm, Will Hill. Is Will in studio tomorrow?
I would assume.
Or is he leaving already?
I don't know if his shoulders will fit through the door, but I believe he'll be in the studio.
Will Hill in studio. It's going to be a blast tomorrow. Stick around, though. Follow the Money coming up after this with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard. They got Sal Pal on to help break down tonight's Hall of Fame game. Paul Stone with best bets for the Pac-12 and a whole lot more.